Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 10th, 2009. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, field test with the Canon 5D Mark II. Welcome back to another Digital Story, and I'm just back from Southern California. I was working a wedding all weekend, and I thought this would be a good time to talk about the Canon 5D Mark II, since it was the primary camera that both I and my assistant used to take care of this somewhat challenging assignment over the weekend. So, the Canon 5D Mark II. You've probably read about it by now. Nikon shooters, Canon shooters, anyone else knows about this camera. Some of the highlights are that it has a lot of resolution, over 21 megapixels of resolution, has a full frame sensor. That means if you put a 24 to 105 millimeter lens on the camera, it is 24 to 105 when you look through the viewfinder. So what you put on is what you get, and that's one of the very nice things about full frame sensors. It's all of the electronics have been improved, including the pipeline for processing the image and so forth. They've added HD movie mode, complete with audio, and most importantly, an audio jack so that you can connect a microphone and record via an external microphone while you're capturing movies. So it's a very nice camera. It feels very good in the hand, very solid build, just feels like it you know, that it's going to be comfortable to use over a long day shooting. And in fact, it is. In fact, it is, because I've done it a few times now, and I can tell you that the camera feels very comfortable in the hand. And I, you know, just at the end of the day, after 8 or 9 hours of shooting, it still felt as good holding it as it did at the beginning of the day. So that's just kind of an overview of this digital SLR. It'll run you in the U.S. about $2,600, $2,700, depending on where you find it. But I thought, well, okay, you can get those off the website or off, any blog that's listing the specs. What I wanted to talk about was some of the ways that we used it for this assignment and some of the results that we got, because that is something that's a little bit harder to get, this information that's a little bit more nuanced, shall we say. So first of all, let me talk about the assignment. Now, I've been posting about this wedding that I've been working on over the weekend. It's called The Wedding Chronicles. That's a series of posts I've been doing. And I've been doing that because, a lot of people, we're in February now, and a lot of people are preparing for wedding season. And it's always nice to just to share the little things that you learn on an assignment for those that are getting ready to probably do similar assignments. And this is whether you're a pro or an amateur or just helping out with an upcoming wedding. So I've been talking about, those basic preparations. And if you're interested in getting ready for a wedding, you might want to take a look at those. I've already published a few installments, and there'll probably be about 5 altogether when I'm done. So if you've already been reading them, you know that one of the things about this assignment was that it was an inside wedding. It was a church wedding and an inside reception. And to me, that always kind of, ups the ante a little bit in terms of challenge, because, you have to work with the lighting that's at hand, and then you have to decide how much of your own lighting you're going to add, and then try to strike that artistic balance between the two. So in the cathedral, which was a gorgeous, just absolutely a gorgeous cathedral, it was a Serbian Orthodox cathedral in Alhambra, California. Absolutely beautiful inside. The interesting thing about it, though, that the lighting inside the cathedral was really designed to illuminate the various aspects of the cathedral, not so much for the people in it. So, and what I mean by that, for example, when people were at the altar, the light is for those people is shining straight down. There's no angled lighting at all. And we all know how it is to take people shots at high noon outside. The hair is overexposed. The tip of the nose gets lit up, but the eyes become, you know, dark, hollow sockets, and then you get all sorts of, you know, weird shadows depending on the structure of the face and so forth. And that's exactly what we had inside. So when I was at the rehearsal shooting with a Canon 5D Mark II, I was very concerned because after a chat with the wedding coordinator, she was saying, well, we really, really don't like flash during the ceremony. So, okay, so we have terrible lighting inside a somewhat dark cathedral and no flash. So I was going, this is a perfect assignment for this camera. We'll really see what this camera can do after this weekend is over. So we did some test shots, both my assistant and I, and then we kind of analyzed them after the rehearsal and sort of figured out our game plan. Now, my assistant, Danielle, she wanted to use flash. She was not comfortable with how her shots were looking in existing light. And, you know, she asked if we could use flash at all. And I said, well, I lobbied a little bit with the coordinator, and she said be very discriminating about flash. So, yes, we can use it, but not very often. So you're still going to have to shoot a lot of this ceremony without flash. So how we ended up with our approach was that we both had 5D Mark IIs. We set the ISO to 1600. Now, a few years ago, who would have imagined that you could shoot a wedding professionally with a digital camera at ISO 1600 and get away with it? But we shot the rehearsal at 1600. Both of us were using primarily the 70 to 200 millimeter image stabilized f/2.8 Canon zoom. So, I mean, it's a very nice lens. I think it's one of the best lenses they make still. So we had a good lens on there, good fast lens with three stops of image stabilization. So we were in pretty good shape that way. But when we looked at the shots in existing light at 1600, the noise was minimal. I mean, even in the shadows, the noise just was not bothersome at all. It did not distract me, and I'm picky about noise. It was very smooth what was there, and a lot of times there just wasn't any there. So I said, you know what, we can get away with this. We can shoot this wedding at 1600, ISO 1600, which means a lot of times for people that weren't in direct light, our shutter speed aperture combination was somewhere around 1/60th of a second, sometimes 1/30th of a second at f/2.8. So with the three stops of stabilization, that got us pretty near handheld, ability, even when the zoom was racked out to 200 millimeters. So I thought, you know, we could pull this off. And indeed, I just finished looking at the shots again on my cinema display, full frame cinema display, and the sharpness is excellent, absolutely excellent. So we had enough shutter speed. And combined with the image stabilizer to give us sharp shots. And also, I have to say, there's a few other things that are very noteworthy about this camera that I just haven't experienced in the past. And mind you, I'm upgrading from a Canon 5D, a regular 5D, so which was a camera that I was happy with and I still am, but it does not compare to this camera that I'm shooting with right now, the Mark II. And I'll tell you why. First of all, noise control at 1600 was excellent. Sharpness at 1600, all types of detail. Right out of the camera, all types of detail. Now, I'm shooting in RAW. So I'm looking at RAW files. Excellent. I was really happy with the detail in both the shadows and the highlight areas. The highlights, even under the harsh lighting, did not blow out. I mean, even as shot, they didn't blow out. Sometimes they were hotter than I liked, but I could do just a little bit of recovery in aperture using the recovery slider, and they would come right back. So the highlights managed not to be blown out, and at the same time, the shadow areas did not plug up. And I thought this was rather remarkable in these conditions. And again, I'll run a sample shot with the show notes so you can take a look at this. But to hold the shadows and the highlights at ISO 1600 in a fairly contrasty situation was very impressive to me. I was just really happy with that. The other thing that impressed me quite a bit was how well it did with white balance. There were different types of light, and we knew that we were going to go in and out of different lighting situations. And so I decided, let's just shoot in auto white balance, and then I'll, in post-production, I'll go ahead, if I have to, do white balance adjustments on groups of shots using lift and stamp and aperture. So that was my plan. Now, normally, if I'm not in this sort of situation, I like to get the white balance as accurate as I can at capture to save me that step. But I just felt like we had so many other variables to deal with that I didn't want to worry about white balance, so I left it on auto. And as it turned out, believe it or not, inside the cathedral, the white balance is outstanding. Under this sort of tungsten artificial light, it handled it really well. And in fact, I don't really think I'm going to do any white balance adjustment. And if I end up on the finals doing some, it's not going to be very much. I mean, the skin tones are good. The whites are clean. The blacks are very neutral. A very impressive performance. Again, at ISO 1600, under auto white balance, under these bizarre lighting conditions. Now, believe it or not, the shots that need a white balance adjustment are right after the ceremony. Everyone sort of zoomed outside, and then there was this little Serbian street fair. Is actually part of the ceremony outside the cathedral. Right after the ceremony, there was music. There was there were musicians, accordion and fiddle and so forth. There were some traditions such as passing the brandy bottle. There was a throwing of coins. All sorts of really good stuff. And this was just not too long before sunset. We still have plenty of light. But it was overcast, and those shots are a little too cool for my taste. I was still in auto white balance. I dropped the ISO on those shots down to 400, and they're a little cool. And so I did a auto white balance adjustment in aperture on them, and it did warm up the temperature a little bit, added just a little bit of yellow, and then they came right back into shape. So I think the only place so far that I've noticed that I really have to do major white balance adjustment was outside under overcast skies. And that could be my eyes, but I just think that under those conditions, a lot of times the shots look too cool. So inside the cathedral, shooting existing light, the performance was very good. Then we went back in after the ceremonies outside, the dancing and so forth, and we did group shots inside, back under the lights that we were before. This time I had mixed lighting. I had the lighting inside the cathedral, mostly tungsten type lighting, and then I was adding electronic flash, two flashes from the front. And again, auto white balance, and again, very good performance, even under mixed lighting conditions. I'm not even sure I'm going to mess with them. I think I might be able to leave them the way they are. So white balance control, excellent. Exposure control, at least with the 70 to 200 millimeter lens and the 24 to 105 millimeter lens, both Canon lenses, both image stabilized, exposure was right on the money. I'd hardly have to mess with any of them. And the only thing that I did was that I would take different meter readings off different parts of the scene. And I had time because the ceremony was kind of long. So I would go to spot metering mode and I would try to find an area that was, you know, around 18%, take a meter reading, lock it in, and shoot the shot. And I did play around with that, and sometimes I needed to do that, especially in the super contrasty situations. But for the most part, I just left it on evaluative metering, which is a pattern metering mode, and most of those are just fine, absolutely just fine. So sometimes I did tailor the exposure a little bit, but for the most part, I let the camera do the heavy lifting, and for the most part, the camera did an outstanding job. Now, one of the things that you have on the 5D Mark II, you're able to do these custom settings, and you have three of them. And on the camera, they're on the mode dial. I'm holding the camera right now. They're on the mode dial. The mode dials where you have, you know, program and aperture priority and manual and bulb mode and all that stuff. Well, you also have, I'm clicking it right now. See, we spare no expense here. We have, you know, state-of-the-art sound effects. You also have C1, C2, and C3. And these presets were very handy. So what we did is we set up C1. And let me turn on the camera here to make sure So C1 was for inside with fill flash. And on that one, I would set the ISO to 400 and do a little bit of flash exposure compensation. I usually dial it down a little bit. RAW plus JPEG. And manual settings, a 30th of a second at f5.6. And I like to move that shutter speed down a little bit because it allows more ambient light in, which gives me a little bit more background information, which opens up the shots a bit so that you don't have flash against the dark background. So that was my C1 setting. And then my C2 setting was my existing light setting. And there I had the ISO up to 1600 and program mode. Let the camera set the exposure and the aperture. I'd keep an eye on it, and you know you can override it a bit with the dial if you want. But for the most part, it would just shoot, you know, wide open in that light. You know, especially it's going, you know, it's not going to stop it down when you know you're shooting existing light inside a cathedral with an f/2.8 lens. So that was my existing light, and then I had a third one. And that was for my outdoor shooting. Whenever we'd pop outside, I'd go to C3. That one I dropped the ISO down to 250 and was in program mode with that one. Auto white balance, all that sort of stuff. So what was really handy, and then of course, my assistant, her settings were exactly the same. We synchronized our cameras before the shoot to make sure they're the same. So if we changed location, I wanted her to change modes, I'd say, okay, go to C2 and turn off your flash. Go to C1 and turn on your flash. Go to C3 with flash on or go to C3 with flash off. And we would both have exactly the same settings on the same camera. So I thought that was very handy. And I love these custom functions, custom setting sets that allow you to set it exactly the way you want. Now, the other thing that we did, and this is also helpful on this camera, is that we synchronize our time. And on the 5D Mark II, You can do it down to the second. It isn't just, 2:15, in the afternoon. It's 2:15 and 42 seconds, 43 seconds, 44 seconds. And the reason why we synchronize all of our cameras down to the second is because then when I merge her shots and my shots together and sort by capture time, then everything just falls into place. So if I took something at 2:15 and 44 seconds and she took something at 2:15 and 45 seconds, then my shot would be first, her shot would be right afterwards, and then my next shot would be after hers. And this is very handy when you want to get the sequence just right. And being able to do that down to the second on the 5D Mark II, I thought, was very, very helpful. And so we use the seconds control on that. The other thing that we do, and I talked about this in a blog post, is that the software that comes with the camera, one of the pieces of software is called EOS Utility. And that allows me to put my owner name, my author information, and my copyright information, have programmed that into the camera via the software. You actually launch the utility on your computer, plug in the camera via USB, turn on the camera, the software sees the camera, you fill in the fields, and then you basically click OK, and that information is sent to the camera. What's helpful about that is then every shot that I shoot with my 5D Mark II is marked with my name, my copyright, and my website address. And it's actually written into the XF data. It's literally baked into the image. It's not just an IPTC field. And it's not editable. I mean, so if I open it up in Aperture, those fields aren't editable. They are actually baked into the file header. And then I had Danielle do the same thing with her camera. So here we are. We have our camera synchronized down to the second. Each person has a camera actually baking their personal information into every shot. So then when I roll everything up together, it's very easy in post-production to, organize and manage these images and know exactly who's shooting what and with what. So again, that's another feature of the camera that I like a lot. And it varies from camera to camera in terms of how much information you get to write. But on the 5D Mark II, you get these three editable fields, and they're very handy. Now, the last thing I want to talk a little bit about with it is the HD movie mode, which is both a blessing and a curse on this camera. The blessing is that the quality is really good, and you get to shoot in HD mode with prime lenses if you want, and it's just wild. I mean, you're just looking at this footage and it's incredible. And the fact that you can capture audio at the same time with an external microphone just makes it all the better. So this is really wonderful stuff. Now, the complaint that I have and that maybe you've read about from some other people is that in HD movie mode, we don't have as many controls as we want. And this is a little bit of a paradox, because somebody who would be interested in shooting HD movies with prime lenses would probably want to be able to have more exposure control, be able to set the aperture of the lens so that if you wanted it wide open, you could do that for minimal depth of field for that effect and so forth. And we sort of have to do these workarounds. They're little kind of hacky sort of ways to trick the camera in order to have it more closely implement the settings that we want. So that part needs some work. That being said, if you don't really need specific settings and you just want to record good HD footage with good audio, you just let the camera do its thing, and it's wonderful. It's absolutely just looks great. The image quality is fantastic. So I would say, as I said earlier, the HD on the 5D Mark II, the movie mode, is both a blessing and a curse, depending on what your needs are. And if you're a movie maker, certain things you're going to want to do, and you might be a little frustrated. So that's it in a nutshell for this camera. One other thing that I will say is that with the original 5D, I was shooting mainly with 4 gigabyte cards, because mainly I don't like all my images on one card during a shoot. But I have to up it now to 8 gigabyte cards for this camera, for the 5D Mark II. We recorded 3 full 8 gigabyte cards and 1 full 4 gigabyte card for this wedding. And so that's a lot of, you know, that's over about 28 gigabytes worth of information, almost 28 gig. And that's shooting in RAW mode, regular RAW mode, which I want, especially under extreme lighting conditions, because I want to be able to pull everything out of those images that I want. So it does change that landscape a little bit. If 4 gigabytes has been, you know, sort of your standard CF card size, if you move up to the 5D Mark II with this high resolution, you're going to have to get bigger cards, or you're going to be changing cards a lot. And I would say 8 or 16 gigabyte cards is probably the way to go with this camera. Some people have asked me about the S-RAW files. You know, you got 2 of them, which are a compressed, a smaller resolution file format for RAW. I haven't been working with those right now, mainly because the software that I use, Aputure, doesn't read them, and so it doesn't do me any good to shoot in a RAW file format where I'm going to have to open it up in Canon software, do some sort of conversion, and then send it on. I don't have time with that for weddings and so forth. So right now, I'm just shooting with regular RAW files on the camera. They're big files. They're about 24 megabytes each. Every time I take a shot, it's about 24 megabytes. That's a lot of information per shot. Now, my computer, my existing computer setup, which is a MacBook Pro, is handling it just fine with 4 gigabytes of RAM. What I am going to have to figure out is, you know, my hard drive situation, if, because these files are over twice the size of my previous files, so are about twice the size. And so that's going to be filling up hard drives a lot faster. That's probably my biggest challenge right now. Okay, so that's my overview. Just kind of just some top of mind thoughts with the Canon 5D Mark II in a challenging assignment. And I have to say right now, my appreciation for this camera after this weekend has grown measurably. I'm just very, very happy with the images. Okay, a couple other things. Street Shot is our photo assignment for February, and you have to the end of the month to turn that in. I want to thank our sponsors, SiteGrinder, which is, you know, just a really handy way to design a website. You design it in Photoshop or Photoshop Elements using layers, and then SiteGrinder is a plugin for Photoshop, and it allows you then to take that design that you make in Photoshop and actually save it out in state-of-the-art web text, you know, CSS compliant, XHTML compliant. So you can design a website in Photoshop and it looks fabulous. And I'm talking about with all the effects and buttons and everything. So SiteGrinder, I've already published a piece by them, and I'm going to be publishing some more, a piece about them, I should say. And then I also want to thank Boink Software, makers of Photo Magico, for slideshows, and now also Boinks TV for creating basically your own virtual studio productions right here on your Macintosh. And I want to thank Red River Paper for sponsoring this show also. They make great high-quality inkjet paper at a very, very affordable price, and they have lots of different textures to choose from, and the results are outstanding. So thanks to all three of them. All three of them have tiles on our website. So SiteGrinder, Boink Software, and Red River Paper, thanks so much for sponsoring this show. If you're sitting on a grab shot, send it in. I'm going to be running some more here real soon. And get going on that photo assignment if you haven't started working on it. Even though it's cold out there, get out there and get a street shot, because I think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to wrap it up right now. I will see you next week, and I promise you I'll have something interesting to talk about then. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.